the message of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. While all that's going on, like, he is suffering, really suffering at the hands of Christ-hating persecutors. Yet while that's going on, he's rejoicing. I'm rejoicing. I rejoice in my suffering. And as you read more and more of Paul's letters, you really get the sense that for Paul, suffering was just part of being a worshiper of Jesus Christ. It came with the new identity. Jesus even warned him that it was coming in Acts 9, verse 16, where he said, "I will show him, Paul, I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." Because of Jesus, Paul was going to suffer. And that is what Colossians 1, verse 24 is saying. The reason Paul suffers is for the sake of the Colossians, for the sake of their church, for the sake of Christ's body, the church, which ultimately means Paul is suffering for Christ. That's what this odd phrase is all about. I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. It's what this does not mean. The Roman Catholic Church has it wrong when they see this as an endorsement of purgatory, which is that place between death and heaven where the Christian has to spend some time suffering to make themselves more holy. Basically, this belief that to make up for the lack of Christ's sacrifice on the cross, what was lacking in Christ's afflictions, they are making up for in purgatory by being cleaned and made more holy for heaven. So you see, what they are saying is that Christ's death on the cross only went so far, and now the receiver of salvation has to do their part and make up the remainder of the required suffering in order to get salvation, fill what is lacking in Christ's affliction. But that does not fit Scripture. That does not fit this chapter. Because in verse 20 to 23, Paul explained the total efficiency, total finished work of Christ's death to take care of sin. Plus, when Paul speaks about Christ's work on the cross, he uses words and concepts like blood and cross and death, not affliction. He doesn't use that. So this phrase about Christ's afflictions is not about salvation. But it does have to do with Jesus Christ. It's a way of saying Paul is getting the afflictions that are targeted at Jesus Christ. Paul is preaching the message of Jesus Christ and getting persecuted for it. Getting persecuted for the sake of the church is equated to getting persecuted for Jesus. And here's one of the reasons why I say this. Before Paul became a worshiper of Jesus, he was persecuting the church, right? And Jesus brought salvation to him on the road to Damascus. And Acts 9 verse 4 records Jesus as saying to Saul at that time, was his name. He said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" What Saul was doing against the church, Jesus took personally. What you are doing to the church, you are doing to me. Why are you persecuting me, Saul? So the afflictions of Christ are all the hateful acts that are targeted at Christ when he was on earth, and continue to be targeted at Christ by means of hurting the church. Hurtful acts received by Jesus' followers. When Christ's church is attacked and hurt, Jesus is attacked and hurt. We are his body. We are receiving the hatred that has always been targeted at Jesus. Ralph was preaching, our elder Ralph was preaching about this last week. The battle is not against flesh and blood, but against evil spiritual authorities. They are wanting to hurt Jesus, and so they come after Jesus' church. It's happening, and there is more and more to come. We are told that in the end times, there will be a ramped up affliction for Christians. In Mark chapter 13, Jesus reveals some of what will take place. Here's what he said. See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name saying, I am he, and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nations will rise against nations, then kingdoms against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are going to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. The second coming of Christ will be preceded by Christians suffering because they belong to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's return is ushered in by pain and affliction as suffered by those who worship him. Why? Because the devil hates Jesus. And therefore hates whatever belongs to Jesus. Whatever Jesus loves, whatever Jesus wants done, whoever loves Jesus, the devil hates. He hates the church and attacks it, wanting to destroy it because he hates Jesus and wants Jesus to suffer. You and I are not special to the devil. We are means to an end, which is to do all he can to destroy whatever Jesus has going on or wants to go on. He believes he's better than God and wants to continually wreck and rebel and make fun of and steal, kill, and destroy whatever belongs to Jesus Christ. And as worshipers of God, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us because we are new creations through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We are becoming more like Christ. We worship God with our lives. We are denying ourselves and pursuing God's will. We are in submission to the Lord, which combined doesn't let us fit in with how the world works. So this brings suffering for us because the world loves the devil's way and we love the Lord. So we are surrounded by a world that the devil is manipulating as hatred toward the Lord. And there we are in the midst, belonging to the Lord, standing out as Jesus' targets, receiving Christ's afflictions until Christ returns and finally takes care of the devil. So what's lacking in Christ's afflictions means the devil is not finished. There is way more attacks and pain and suffering that he has aimed at the church as a way of doing whatever damage he can against Jesus Christ until Christ returns. Paul is getting the afflictions targeted for Christ. Christ is the target for the devil's hatred and plans. And Paul is receiving it because he's bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Colossians, to the Gentiles, to others, and is suffering for it. Because Paul belongs to Christ and doing the work of Christ, he is on the devil's radar as a way to inflict pain and affliction on Christ. And so Paul is full of joy in his suffering. In some way, I bet he was joyful because of the suffering, because he's identified with Jesus Christ. He's attacked because of Jesus. You know, he just spent 7 verses describing Jesus and the work of Jesus, the creator of all, authority over all, sustainer of all, the one who takes away sin and reconciles us to God, the one who makes us blameless before the holy God. Paul gets to suffer for him. How wonderful is that? So for Paul to lose his joy, it wouldn't be due to circumstances, but a breakdown in communion with the Lord, or a breakdown in faith in the Lord. Joy is eternal, internal, not circumstantial. That's why Paul can say he is afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. He had great sorrow and unceasing grief, yet he had great joy. He saw suffering from the point of view of being in Christ. So when he's in prison in Rome, and other preachers were getting all this glory and this credit for preaching, which Paul should have received, he just says, hey, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. When he's facing death, he said, even if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with all of you. Acts 16, verse 25 records that he was singing after being beaten and put in prison. You know, you get the feeling that Paul didn't think he deserved any better than he got, that he was unworthy of God and his goodness, yet he received salvation, and so he rejoiced no matter what came. So you see, suffering can actually be a cause for joy. I know that sounds completely backwards, but that's the gospel. Suffering assures a believer that they belong to Jesus Christ. John 15, verse 18 says, if the world hates you, this is what Jesus is saying, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. Matthew 10, 24 says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. 2 Timothy 3, 12 says, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. We are told that worshipers of Jesus Christ will suffer. Why? Because the devil is working hard to inflict any pain and destruction he can on Jesus, and so he goes after those whom Jesus loves. When you suffer for the cause of Christ, you know you belong to Christ. When you suffer for the cause of Christ, you know the devil is targeting the Lord through you. When you suffer for the cause of Christ, you know you are counted as a child of God for eternity. So do you suffer for the cause of Christ? Or does the devil leave you alone because you're just going along for the ride, living in a way where there is least resistance? If the Bible says something I don't like, I just don't do it. I have my own version of Jesus, and following him is about comfort and fulfillment in this life, not suffering. Worshippers of Jesus, we will suffer. Some of us are suffering, real suffering for Jesus, really getting hurt for going the way that the Lord wants us to go. They are real. If we compare this to what's happening to our brothers and sisters around the globe, this might not stand up that greatly against what they're going through. But, you know, if you're extending forgiveness instead of revenge, and that hurts emotionally, financially, or whatever, that's suffering for Jesus. You're gracious and giving to someone when they treat you in a terrible way and it hurts, and you give loving grace back to them, that is suffering for Jesus. When you see a brother or sister in sin and you lovingly say something to them and they turn on you and gossip about you with lots of religious language, that's suffering for Jesus. When a conversation with some Christians is going in a condoning way of talking about relationships, like common law and homosexuality, like, that's okay, that's good. And you in the midst of that say, that's not beautiful. That is not the fulfilling way that God has intended us to live. And they make fun of you and they write you off. That is suffering for Jesus. And then there is the stuff that our brothers and sisters are going through around the world. Killed for loving Jesus. Put in prison. Tortured. Beaten. Their houses wrecked. Jobs being lost. All because they worship Jesus. We will suffer if we are standing for Jesus. We will suffer if we are biblical worshipers of Jesus Christ. So, how should we respond? Rejoice! Rejoice! Again, I say rejoice. The devil is going for you with his attacks so that he can inflict suffering on Jesus Christ. Rejoice! And you know what? Having a positive attitude is not going to help you and help you through any of the suffering. How can that help you against the attacks of the devil? How can positive thinking going to help you stand against evil attacks? The Lord, His truth, His power, His strength is it. Rejoice. You belong to the Lord. This isn't an immediate fix to the suffering. It's going to be hard. You're not going to probably walk around with a smile on your face as you're suffering. But this truth, we have to hang on to it, that we are suffering for the Lord. We're suffering for His truth. And our minds are going to have to be renewed on this truth for a while. This is going to take some time. But as worshipers of Jesus Christ, we have got to stand up and stand on His word, what He is saying. And when we do that, we will suffer. If you're just a person who shows up on church on Sunday morning and barely keep your eyes open, maybe you should rethink coming to church. Find a different church where you can sit in the back. Maybe it's a little bit dark and you can have your nap. But don't waste your time sitting and just coming to church for no reason. There is warfare going on. The church, sadly in North America, is giving up truths about Jesus Christ for the sake of being politically correct, for the sake of going along what culture is saying. I am in the midst of something right now. We got something sent to us. Ralph, should I say? I should say that. Okay. We got something sent to us as a church that we're supposed to put in our bulletin. And this is a bulletin insert with a totem pole on the front and talking about native spirituality. And it does the typical thing, makes us feel bad for what has happened to the natives, and it is very bad what has happened to them. But then it slides in, we should embrace them with their culture. Well, guess what? Native culture does not separate secular culture and spiritual culture. Native culture is culture with their spirituality. And so we're encouraged to bring into church native spirituality, drumming, smudging, longhouse, all of this stuff, and condone it and say, hey, you are worshiping the Creator. It's the same as what we're doing. And it's not the same. It's not the same. And here we are getting encouraged to do this. And people are eating this up because they don't know the truth. They think, oh, you know what? Jesus is love. So that is love. That's loving towards people that are worshiping other gods, bringing them in. That's loving. That's got to be the right thing to do. It's not. It's called synchronism. Syncretism? Syncretism. It's taking Jesus. Oh, yeah, we'll worship Jesus. Oh, and yeah, ancestral worship. We'll do that too. It's no problem. No problem. They go together. It doesn't go together. It doesn't. And there's churches that are eating this up. What are you going to do with that? Do you know Scripture enough to say, you know what? It says Jesus is the only way to the Father through his life, death, and resurrection. That is it. Repentance and surrender and belief in Jesus Christ as the only Lord, as the only way to salvation. Are you going to stand on that? Or are you going to go, yeah, that is one of the ways, and let's just be nice to everybody else, though. Don't get too hardcore about that. You don't want to be seen as a Bible-thumping freak for Jesus. We got to be nice people here. God's truth is being lost in our culture, in our churches. Stand for Jesus Christ. Stand on his truth. Know his truth. Stand on it. Promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look like a fool for Jesus. Who cares? Listen to what Psalm 91 says. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up and in their hands so you won't even hurt your foot. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue you. I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Worshippers of Jesus Christ, listen. Rejoice! You belong to the Lord. And he will see you through the hard stuff when you suffer for his sake, not suffer for being whatever else. For his sake, he will keep you. He will uphold you. Rejoice for being able to suffer for his sake. And those hard things, they might never get better here on earth, but that doesn't mean you can't have the joy of the Lord and rejoice in the midst of what is happening. Thankfully, the joy of the Lord is not tied to circumstances. It's tied to Jesus Christ. That's who his joy is tied to. And we have folks that are struggling because they're hanging on to the Lord. They are suffering for the sake and the cause of Jesus Christ. And we need to come alongside them globally and also in our midst right here in our church. There are some that are standing for Christ's way and they're not veering. And that hurts, and they're taking some shots for it that we might not even know about. And this morning, we want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. So those of you who are suffering right now, in your families, in your friendships, at work, your neighborhood, wherever, those of you that are in the midst of suffering for the cause of Christ because you're following Jesus' way, in relationships, in whatever. You're suffering as you obediently follow the Lord and his word. I want you to stand up and be brave. Stand up so that we can pray for you. Okay? So if that's happening to you right now, be brave. This is about glorifying God too. Just get over the shyness. Just stand up right now. If you are being some kind of a pain and suffering for the cause of Christ, please, just stand up. Dude, okay? Good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you're getting shots taken at you, you got some kind of suffering because you're standing for Jesus. Good. Stand up. Stand up. Good. Good. If you're sitting close by these people, grab their hand or just touch them to let them know that they're not alone in this, but we're standing with them, okay? So let's pray. Let's pray for these brothers and sisters. So Father, you know the circumstances in each person here. You know what's going on. You know that your children right here are standing for you. They have said, I am glorifying Jesus Christ. He is more important than my safety, than my feelings. Jesus is more important and I'm following him. Thank you, Lord, for their demonstration of glorifying you and being surrendered to you. And we ask, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, you would empower each one of these brothers and sisters. Empower them, strengthen them, that they will not falter, that they will stay strong, that they will bring your truth verbally, but also in how they conduct themselves inside this pain. Lord, comfort them with your truth, that the victory is already yours. We know the end of the story. Jesus has the victory, and when we pass away, we're in eternity with him. Jesus is coming back to this earth and finishing it off, and his people will spend eternity with them. Father, let your truth penetrate these brothers and sisters' minds and hearts, that they will not give up, that the sounds of the enemy's voice, give up, give up, give up, what's the use, what's the use, give up, he will not have victory, but your Holy Spirit, they will hear your Holy Spirit saying, keep going, I'm strengthening you, you are going in my power, you are going in my power. Father, let that keep them going, and Father, let this truth of knowing that the devil is trying hard to take shots at you and bring discredit your name and bring an infliction, inflicting pain upon you, let them know that they are taking the shots for you, and let that somehow bring great joy to their hearts too, that they are taking hits for Jesus. They're not taking hits for themselves. They're not taking hits for some other cause. They're taking hits for the sovereign King of Kings, Jesus Christ. May that bring great joy to them and great glory to you, Lord. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. One more thing. Those of us that want something different. We don't want to do the same old coasting along. We don't want to take the road of least resistance. We want to be able to see Jesus' truth and where his truth is being veered away from. We want to be able in that place to stand for Jesus' truth in the most loving and clear and bold way. If that is you, if that's what you want to do, if that's who you want to be in your family, in your workplace, in your culture, in this town, if that's who you want to be, standing for Christ's truth, no matter what comes, suffering the afflictions that are targeted at Christ, if you're wanting to stand strong for Jesus Christ, then I want to invite you too to stand up. Stand up and be identified as someone that is not a coaster, that is not just going along for the ride, but someone that is willing to, in these ugly days, to stand up for Jesus Christ. If that's you, then stand up. We're going to pray together too, us as brothers and sisters in Christ, that is who we are. Grab the person's hand beside you. Let's do this together. Father, there are so many churches that are leaving your word. They're abandoning the truth to comfort people. They're abandoning your truth to be seen as kinder by the world. Father, we don't want to go that route. We want to uphold your truth and move into the world with your truth and in the way that you call us to. Father, forgive us for being so quiet. Forgive us for picking on weird things and holding that up as Christian instead of holding up Jesus Christ as Christian, as our stand. Father, forgive us. Forgive us for standing by as this mixture of pagan worship is making its way into the church and being passed off as Christian. Forgive us, Lord. Lord, give us strength. Empower us as your kids here in Calvary Baptist Church to not go that way. Lord, I ask that you would raise us up as solid biblical people. Lord, whatever false teaching we're holding on to, we ask that you would uproot that. Whatever selfishness that we're hanging on to that makes us so defensive of ourselves is being very un-Jesus-like amongst our church family and in the world, uproot that, Father. Lord, let your truth be, and let you be who we are looking to and who we are worshiping and who we are following. Father, let you be the one that we lay our hearts down, lay our lives down before. Come, Lord Jesus, change us. Don't let us be the same. Don't let us be the same. Rise us up. Empower us. Put that passion in our hearts. Punch through whatever blockage we have to giving up for you and being okay with being considered a fool for Jesus Christ. Punch through, Father. Punch through, Father. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, who is our Lord, who is the one we worship. We ask this in his name. Amen.